I want you to go over with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. If you go over and find Psalms and then start going forward toward the New Testament there, you'll find it just shortly. Ecclesiastes. And we're going to go to chapter 12 there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 10. Now, I want to read this to you, if it's okay, from the Amplified Bible. And you'll just, it's a little lengthier, but it just breaks down some things so much more. And here's what it says in verse 10. It says, "The preacher sought acceptable words, even to write down rightly words of truth or correct sentiment. The words of the wise are like prodding goads, and firmly fixed in the mind like nails are the collected sayings, which are given as proceeding from one shepherd. But about going further than the words given by one shepherd, my son, be warned. Of making many books, there is no end. So do not believe everything you read. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. All has been heard. The end of the matter is fear God, revere and worship Him, knowing that He is, and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of His creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it is good or evil." Now, here, the Amplified makes it a little bit longer, but basically Solomon comes down to the point and he says the whole duty of man is just to fear God and keep His commandments. You know, and here's the thing, church. It's not like we don't have His Word, because His Word is everywhere. It's all over the world. There's no reason for us not to know what the truth is. Amen. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. And that is the thing that you and I go by. Notice here that Solomon, one of the wisest men on earth ever lived, because God gave him that wisdom, he says, you know, there's all kinds of books you can read. And you can get a lot of opinions out of books, and you can get a lot of things. But he says, what you need is the Word that comes from the one shepherd. What you need is the Word of God, not the Word of men. See, I've heard preachers preach, and because they had a certain doctrine or a certain thing that they believed in a certain way, in order to prove, even though the Word of God would say something, I've heard them say, "Now that don't really mean that. So-and-so said in his book," and they would try to back up what they believed by somebody else's book that believed what they believed. But see, here's the thing. If the Bible says it, it's settled. If it's the Word of God, you can't change the Word of God by going to somebody else's book. Amen. Now, I always love to read Brother Kenneth Hagin, E. Hagin's books, and some of those guys. And I enjoy them because they always back up their books with Scripture. Now, they may tell a story that's a life story, but Jesus did that, right? That's what His parables were. But it was always backed by the Word of God. So if you can back it with the Word of God, that's great. But if you're trying to use a book to explain away the Word of God, you better be careful of that. He says you need to be warned about that. So you and I need to make sure that we're staying with the Word of God. And it's readily available. You can get it anywhere you want to. But you have to understand that it's the Word that changes your life. Jump over here. It's familiar. But go with me to Romans chapter 10. And let's back all the way up to verse 8. Romans 10. In verse 8 it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Notice it's the word of faith. Amen. If you're not using faith with the word won't work. Come on, you have to believe the word. Amen. Even though God's written it, there's all kinds of people that know the word, but it's not working for them because they don't have faith in the word. They don't believe it. But he goes on and he says this, it's the word of faith which we preach, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now see, we have a simple word. There are folks that will tell you all kinds of ways to get saved. They'll tell you you have to do this and you have to do that, and there's things that you've got to put down. No. He said if you call upon the name of the Lord, if you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, if you believe in the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You can't add anything to that, take anything away. Men try to add their experiences to it, but your experience may be different than mine. Amen. You see, but this is what the Word says we do. And see, you can try to use other things, and I know folks do, but this is the Word toward that. But now notice, let's go on just a little bit here. Whoever calls upon Him will be saved, and there's no difference. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now look at this. They've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What's Paul trying to get across to us? Well, he's using Isaiah as an example to say this. I've called and called to my people Israel, and they're not listening. They're disobedient. They won't hear. They won't obey the gospel. So I'm going to go to the Gentiles, and I'm going to be their Savior too. And he says, they're going to seek after me. They're going to go after me. That's us. He said, they're going to go after, and I'm going to make Israel jealous with the Gentiles. Think about that. God loves His people, but He also loves us because we're His people too. And He brought salvation to us, and Israel, He did it to provoke Israel to jealousy, so they look and say, we're the chosen ones. We're the only ones that know God. God says, no, I'm God of everybody. And you can just keep doing what you want to. You can keep turning me down, but I'll still be God to those that will accept me. You see, and that's the way it is today. There's a lot of people that hear the gospel, but they won't hear it. Come on. They hear it, but they won't hear it. They can be told it, but they're disobedient to it. And that's what he's talking about. Israel was disobedient to God's call for them to come to Him. Now he's given us the call. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a call to every one of us. Now, here's the thing. It's not only in salvation about obeying the Word, but it's about everything in the Word. Because it seems like to me that people would rather follow their feelings than the Word of God. Amen. You get out, you get to talking to folks, and you'll find out, they have a way that they think or feel about something that the Word of God says. You know, but can I tell you this? It doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's still the Word of God, and the Word of God is truth. Your feeling or thinking about it does not change the Word of God. Amen. And I know that bothers people because, they want to put God in their box and have God do what they'd have Him to do. They want God to approve of the things they approve of and disapprove of the things that they disapprove of. If you want to know what God approves of, look in the Word. If you want to know what He disapproves of, look in the Word. And anything in between there is going to be messing you up, because you've got to understand, God is the final Word. He is the standard that everything is set by. So you can believe what you want to, you can think what you want to, but God's Word's for sure. Amen. And we're not going to be judged by what you think. You're not judged by what you feel. You're judged by what the Word of God says. Amen. And that's hard for people. They don't like it, because, you know, we're at this place now with the way society is, that the church really, we're going to have to decide whose side we're on. Amen. The church is going to have to decide whose side they're on. We've lived, you know, all this time, and we've had this one talking this and this one talking that, and we've wrote out through politics and all that kind of junk. And I'm going to tell you something. The church was never meant to be controlled by any of that. Actually, the church is the authority upon the earth. Amen. We're the ones that control the Word of God. I know that's a strong word, control, but listen, if we're the children of God, then the Word belongs to us. And we're the ones ought to be handling it. Amen. Now you say, well, that's not fair. Well, yes, it is, because anybody who wants to be a child of God can be a child of God. It's not that we're keeping the Word from anybody, but we're the keepers of the Word. And you have to understand that. You, as a child of God, are a keeper of the Word. But you're going to have to decide, you know, whose side you're on. Amen. I'm telling you something. The world's going away from God. And the church better be running to God. You see, but we're kind of in this place. We're kind of in this place where we're a whole lot like the children of Israel were. Let me just take you over here and just show you this. In Exodus chapter 32, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it, but in Exodus chapter 32, Moses is leading the children of Israel. Now, God calls Moses up on the mountain. This is where God is getting ready to write the commandments out on stone for Moses. Now, here's the thing. Moses, to the people, represents God. When he speaks as God. Now, Moses wasn't God. But for the people, God would talk to Moses. Moses would talk to the people. Okay? So he represents God to the people. Now, Aaron is Moses' brother. And if you remember, when God called Moses, he stuttered. He said, I can't talk very well and all that. And he said, I'll let Aaron be a mouthpiece for you. I'll talk to you. Tell you, you tell Aaron, let Aaron tell the people then. So when you look at this, Moses is called up on the mountain so God can talk to him, give him the commandments. Now, what happens there is Moses, again, is the representation of God to the people. Aaron is the government representation. He's the one speaking to the people. God speaks to Moses. Moses speaks to him. But Aaron then speaks to the people. So the people look to Aaron for what he says. But what happens here in this story is that when Moses goes up on the mountain to hear from God, the people are there. And understand this, as far as they're concerned, the presence of God has now left. The representation of God has now left. How do we know that? Well, because the people come to Aaron and they say, make us a God that we can see. As for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. You know what they said? They said, we can't see the presence of God anymore. The representation of God is not here anymore. Would you make us something that would represent God to us? Now think about it for a minute. You know what Aaron does? Instead of standing up for what's right, instead of standing up what he knew was right, understand, Aaron's there through the whole deal. Aaron's there with Moses when they cross the Red Sea. He's there when, you know, the stick turns to the snake. He's there when all the play. He's there. He knows the power of God. He knows the presence of God. But again, Moses is the man. not Aaron. Aaron's a high priest. I'm not taking it. I'm just showing you the difference, though. Sold out, not so sold out. How do I know that? Because as soon as the people came to him and said, "Make us a God we can see," he says, "Well, go break off your earrings, bring me the gold and stuff. Sure, whatever you want." Sounds like government, don't it? I'll give you what you want. What is it you'd like for me to do for you? I'll do it for you. And so the Bible says that they broke them off and they brought it and they made this golden calf. And while Moses is on the mountain, God says, "Get on down, I'm going to kill them all." And Moses says, "Lord, you can't kill them all because everybody will say, you brought them out in the wilderness just to kill them. I'm going to kill them." No, you can't kill them, God. See, that's somebody that loves the people. That's somebody that's willing to talk to God and intercede. And God says, they're going to pay for it. Get on down off this mountain. And so Moses has got the Ten Commandments in his arms, written in stone. Joshua was halfway up on the mountain and waiting on Moses to come down. He's the armor bearer, his right-hand man, who gets down to him. He says, "It sounds like there's some trouble down there. I hear." And Moses said, "That's not trouble, that's singing. That's worship down there." And so when they get down there, here they are, partying, worshiping, singing to a golden idol. Moses throws down the stones and breaks the stones and grinds that golden calf into ashes and puts it in the thing. He's angry because here they are. The God that's delivered them and brought them out and brought them across, here they are worshiping now a false god. Do you remember that God led them a fire by night and a cloud by day? They knew God. They knew how He had led them. They knew this stupid little idol-looking God. But you see, that's the thing. People tend to forget really quickly what God has done for them. And so, now listen to this. Moses is angry with the people, but he goes to Aaron. He said, How did you let this happen?" And Aaron, just like a good leader does, well, you know this people. They're mischievous people. I didn't do a thing. They brought me that stuff. I throwed it in the fire and out jumped this golden calf. Right? Does that not sound like government to you? It's the people's fault. We didn't do anything. See, here's the thing in this, church, is Aaron was just as guilty as the people were. He might not have danced. He might not have worshipped that calf. He might not have done anything. But because he made it, because he caused it, it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't have made it. They couldn't have worshipped if he'd have stood up and said, "Oh, no. God's talking to Moses on the mountain right now. You know this. What are you guys talking about?" But no. He wanted to appease the people. Tell them what they want to hear. Give them what they want. And because of that, many died that day. It brought a breach on them. You see, here's the thing, church. We got to be careful. Because as much as we don't want to be, we can be involved in things in ways that we shouldn't be, and we might mean nothing by it, but at the same time, we're still involved. Amen. See, you got to make sure whatever you do, whatever you say, we're putting God first in that thing. Amen. See, I don't know what Aaron was thinking, but we know he messed up. But Moses comes to that place and he looks at him and he says, "Listen, who's on the Lord's side?" And the Levites came over to his side. He came to the place where he just looked at him and said, "Now who's on the Lord's side here? You on the side of a false god or you on the side of God?" And some people weren't on the side of the Lord. And right now, today, there are people that are not on the side of the Lord. Amen. So when we start seeing this, we got to understand, again, Aaron was just as guilty as they were. But just because something makes you feel better or do better or live better, that don't necessarily make it right. Did you know that? Come on, see, there's a lot of folks that justify a whole lot of things, but that does not make it right. See, because the Word of God is the final authority on everything. Your lifestyle does not make it the right lifestyle. Just because you want to live a certain way, that does not mean it's right. And that makes people mad because, you know, oh, well, I'm free to do however I want to. Yeah, you can do whatever you want to, live however you want to. But that don't mean you get to heaven. You'll only get to heaven by doing what the Word of God says. Now, I know people get mad at me and they get that's harsh for some people. But, you know, there's a lot of things been going on, you know, around the world and people trying to justify stuff and all that. And if it goes against the Word of God, it's wrong. It don't matter. I don't care what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what you do in the name of art or in the name of theater or name of anything else. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. You can look at it however you want to, but that, I'm going to look at it through the eyes of the Word of God. And I know I'll always be on the side of right as long as I'm looking through the Word of God, right? So lifestyles don't change the Word of God. Can I tell you something? Work status don't change the Word of God. Amen. You know, and you say, well, what are you talking about there? I tell you what I'm talking about there. We live in a time now where there is so much ungodliness and there is so much corruption that corporations and organizations and all those kinds of things, in order to get their people to do what they want them to do, they'll give them raises and tell them, you know, we're going to give you a raise if you'll do what we want you to do. And of course, you know, who doesn't want a raise, right? Come on now, be honest with me. Who doesn't want more money? But here's the thing. If what you have to do goes against the Word of God to get that money, to get that thing, to get that benefit, or whatever it is it right? See, that's what we have to look at. Just because somebody wants to live a certain lifestyle and do certain things that are not natural, that don't make it right. And we have to, as the people of God, you and I have to look at those things and you have to judge them for the way you see them. And I know people get mad at us and, you know, they call us judgmental. They come up with all kinds of phobias for us and all that kind of thing. But, you know, that's their name to try to make us look bad when the truth is they're going against the Word of God and we're in the right with God and they're not. Amen. Now, you know, I understand that a lot of this stuff is hit families close to home. We understand that. We know that, you know. And you can't help what family members do, right? You love them anyway. And they can be into all kinds of things, but you love them anyway. But you don't condone what they do. You have to, if you want to help save them, you have to tell them the truth. Because if you just go along with them and act like everything they're doing is okay, then all you're doing is just helping ease them on into hell. Amen. It's true. You see, and I know that's not popular because we want everybody to, you know, to be patted on the back and tell them it's okay. You just do what you want to, how you want to, as long as it's love, you know. The greatest love that ever was when the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life so that every one of us could be saved. That's true love. Going against everything in Him. Right? If there's any way, Father, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, yours be done. That's love. To where no matter what He felt like, the anguish that He went through, and we know there was anguish because His sweat became like great drops of blood. I mean, He's sweating big drops because of knowing what the cross meant. the anguish he'd have to go through, the pain, the suffering that he would have to go through. But he loved you and I so much that he did it anyway. That's true love. It wasn't the fact that true love meant I can do what I want to do. True love is really obeying the voice of God and doing what God tells us to do. Amen. And a lot of times that means it's not our will. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. So we have to start seeing things from a different light, because God wants the believers to be sold out. Amen. He wants us to be sold out and wants us to refuse to compromise. Amen. And it's hard on us because it goes against our flesh. It goes against what we want a lot of times. But the truth is, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves compromising in a lot of ways. And God says there's no compromise for us. We have to stay with the Word of God. Amen. And I know it's not popular to a lot of people, but we have to do what God says. In Acts chapter 21, Paul and his company's been traveling, and they end up at Philip the evangelist's house. And he's got daughters that are prophesying, and they're there, and they're staying with him. And while they're there, a prophet named Agabus comes along. And he's there in the house also with them. And Agabus gets a garment of Paul's, and he ties up his hands in it, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen in Jerusalem to the one that owns this garment." It was Paul's garment. So immediately, Luke and all those that were present, they all go to Paul. "Oh, Paul, you can't go up to Jerusalem. We just can't let you go up there." And Paul looks at him and says, "What do you mean by trying to break my heart? Why would you do this?" He said, "I'm not only willing to go up there, but I'm willing to die if need be." See, that's the difference. His friends all trying to persuade him. They're trying to talk him out of going. See, basically what's happening there is his friends are trying to talk him into disobeying what God told him to do. You see, you've got to be careful about your friends, because even though they love you and maybe they mean well, you still have to do what God tells you to do. You can't be pressured by outsiders, friends or family or anybody else. What God's told you to do, that's what you have to do. And all of us know, you're here at New Generation Church. Hey, most everybody that's been here has been persecuted over something. Somebody's talked about you about something. Something's been said about you. They've lied about you. They've said bad things about you. They've said bad things about the church. They've said bad things about me. But it don't matter, because God is still blessing. Amen. And we're seeing great things happen. We're seeing lives changed by the Word of God. Amen. You see, so you can't be influenced by anything else. You have to stay with what the Word says. Paul says, "I'm willing to die for the gospel." I wonder how many of us are. Come on, let's think about it. A little persecution can cause a lot of problems. What happens when somebody walks in? Somebody tries to do something. What's that do to you? Amen. So it gets quiet. Because we say that, and you know, in other countries, there have been that thing to where people would walk in. I heard the one story where they were worshiping in an underground church, and all of a sudden the door flies open, guys come in with rifles, you know, and they say, "We're going to kill everybody here that doesn't denounce the name of Christ." And a bunch of them took off flying, ran out. And after they ran out, the soldiers looked at the rest of them and said, "Okay, now we know who's with Jesus and who's not. Let's have church." Think about it for a minute. Wonder if that happened. How many people would be left? You know? See, we have to see, how serious are we about God? How serious are we about obeying God so that the blessing of God can come upon our life? He wants to bless us. That's His will, is to bless us. It's His will to do good things for us. But we have to be to the place where we're sold out to Him so that He can work good in our lives. We have to decide, are we going to be 100% in for God? Or are we going to try to live in the world and just kind of hold on to God to make sure that we get to heaven? Let me give you one more scripture and we'll close out this thing here just in a minute. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And let's go to verse 11 here. They built the house, they built the tabernacle for God. Verse 11 says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came to Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I have heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people.'" Now look at that. You know what God just said? "I chose my name to be here no matter if bad things happen." Notice that. Real quick, He wanted Solomon to know, just because I'm putting my name on this place does not mean bad things might not happen. And I think sometimes Christians think that. Just because I'm sold out to God, nothing bad's going to happen to me. There's a real devil out there that hates you. And he came to steal, kill, and destroy, according to Jesus. And I believe Jesus. So when trouble comes, understand it will. Jesus said, "In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Now listen to what God says to him. He tells him, if I send this stuff. But look what He says in verse 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Do you see the stipulations here, church? It's not just if you pray, but notice that. Humble yourself. Realize He's God. Humble yourself and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, the church got to get turned back to God. There's got to be a turn, and they're getting ready to be a turnaround. Danny prophesied that. He prophesied this turnaround that's about to happen. But we need to be ready for that. I want turnaround to happen for everybody. I want every person in here, for their lives to be changed as this takes place. And so he says, "My people, if they'll do these things, then I'll heal and forgive their land." He says, "Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend to the prayer that's made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." Notice now, he says his name's going to be there forever. His heart's going to be there perpetually. He said, "As for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, do according to all that I've commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgment, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have coveted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel." Now I could just stop here, take a little side note, and let you know God said all that after David had messed up and committed adultery with another woman, sent her husband to be killed. But I also can say this, David was a man that lived a repentant lifestyle. He repented, asked God to forgive him, and God forgave him and forgot about it because he just tells his son, "If you walk up for me like David did." See, that tells me right there, no matter what we've done, if we ask God to forgive us, if we'll repent, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, seek my face, right? Goes on and says, "But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them by the roots out of my land, which I've given them. And the house which I've sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them." Notice this. God blesses, says, "I'm going to be with you. Your house is going to be my house. My name's going to be there. This is the place. But if you turn and go after other gods, I'll bring it to nothing." Church, I'm going to tell you, there's only one God. His name is Jehovah. He has a son. His name is Jesus Christ. There's only one kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God. Every other religion is a false religion. I know that we're tolerant of those things, and then, again, that's between them and whatever it is they're worshiping. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm on the Lord's side. How about you? And I'm going to stay on the Lord's side. I don't want what God has given me to be taken away. Do you? That means we've got to stay faithful. We've got to stay after Him. You can't live and do anything you want to and think you're still going to go to heaven. I'm sorry, I'm not that preacher. I know there's some there. But you have to understand, according to the Word of God that I read, and here's one place, even in the Old Testament, where He says, "You turn your back on me, I'm going to turn my back on you." But He also proved it out with David, that if you repent, I'll act like it never happened. Isn't that awesome? That's the God we serve. A God that loves us so much that even when we make mistakes, when we repent, He forgives us. So here's the thing. The Word of God has not changed. The world's changing, people's changing, and you're hearing all kinds of things. But as you look around, and we're at a very, very strategic place in our country right now. There is a great, great battle going on between good and evil. Now, you just go look at other countries if you want to see what happens when you just go footloose and fancy free. You can see all the vulgarity and all the perversion and all the stuff that's going on. That's not this country. This country was formed from the Word of God. I know it's not, you know, people say, "Well, it's not a Christian country." Yes, it is. Those people believed in the Word of God. They believed in God. And you look in all of our documents and you'll find that they believed in God. Even though some of them weren't saved, they still believed in God, you know. And this, we cannot allow ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something. As the church goes, so goes the country. If the church compromises, our country will be compromised. Come on. So we have to decide, am I a true Christian that follows God and the Word of God? Or am I one of those Christians that just goes with whatever the whims is that makes me feel good and makes me better? Sometimes there's sacrifice when you serve God. Sometimes you can't do what's best for you. You have to do what the Word of God says. But here's what I promise you. When you do what the Word of God says, God will bless you. You'll find out that, man, I did that for God. Look what He's done for me. So let's stand and let's be strong. Let's let God be God. Let His Word be Word. Okay? Come on, stand up with me. Let's pray. Father, Your Word is forever settled. Thank You, Father God, that there is no way that we can compromise that Word. We have to be obedient to that Word, Lord, and let it come to pass in our life. Help us to walk strong and do what Your Word declares. And as we do, Father, Lord, we know that You'll be glorified in it, Father God. Lord, and You'll bless us because we decided we wanted to be obedient to Your Word. Now, Father, I pray right now, Lord, for any person, Lord, that's here that needs to make things right with You. They're not saved. They need to rededicate whatever it is they need from You. I pray that today, right now, You're dealing with that heart. You're dealing with those hearts, Father God, that they'll make up their mind. I'm on the Lord's side today. I'm giving my life to Him. And Father, I give You glory for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen.